PR person for Mercy Charities.
She was there when Pierre and I did our little presentation the other day. Oh, my God. And actually, I was thanked by a woman who didn't even know me afterwards that I did that. And there was also a woman that spoke up and said, she's been treated like a queen at Del Centro. This is in regards to Pierre being totally ignored about a letter that he wrote with complaint and documentation of harassment, abuse, threat of eviction over icing that got off of a cake. I mean, this is so bizarre, it's hard to calm down.
Well, hang on a second now. You know? Pierre lives in El Centro?
Yeah.
So El Centro is currently managed by Mercy Charities?
Yes.
So
and
he,
it's under
he,
the management of Deep Farmer and...
He had a problem with the management of Mercy Charities that they were ignoring.
Well, he ignored this letter, and so Pierre finally wrote a letter to the city council, which I could read to you probably.
Why don't you read that?
Maybe we should get out there. Maybe someone that was at the accident scene thought we could go out there.
Well, don't worry. There'll be time for that.
So he wrote a letter, finally. I mentioned it.
Do you have that letter with you?
Yeah, I do.
Well, hey, I encourage you to read it.
Well, which one? Okay, well.
The one he wrote to the city council.
Well, he wrote two.
Okay, well, choose one you think that covers the situation.
Okay, well, to each, this is written on April 24th.
Okay.
To each member of the Santa Cruz City Council. In 1999, I joined some 49 other seniors living in El Centro, a place specifically designed for housing single senior citizens, approved of by the state and county and city of Santa Cruz. And now we learn that this city council is forcing the Mercy Housing people to evict the rent-paying seniors now living their final years at El Centro. We were assured by Mercy, told not to worry at a meeting last week. We were assured that no more than 8 residences at a time would be taken from the seniors and turned over to other youth by stronger people. Many of us are too old to psychologically and physically survive very long after another traumatic moving experience. Animal abuse, child abuse, woman abuse, racial abuse are all considered as criminal behavior, and now senior abuse is being contemplated by the current Santa Cruz City Council. While we all do need housing, stealing the old man's bundle, his apartment, and his dignity is not the way to do it. Tom Brokaw claims we are America's greatest generation. And then he wrote a poem.
How does that poem go?
Sanctuary. Please remember us and honor us and not evict us on the eve of our death. Amen. Okay, now that's very personal. I hope he doesn't mind that I did that. Because actually what he did was he walked it down to city council. See, they had a meeting 2 weeks ago, after April 24th, the day he wrote it, that day. They had a meeting between 3 and 5. He got it mixed up, and he went down there at 5, and everybody was gone, and he ran into, of all people, the mayor.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Tim Fitzmaurice.
Yes, and they had a nice conversation, and it was very wonderful, and he was very... So he gave all the copies to the mayor. The mayor promised he would give copies of that to all the city council members, which I indeed believe he did. Now, Pierre received one phone call from one city council member. You got to tell me, I'm sure remember, it's not Scott, and it's not... that. Ed Porter called him, and that was it. No one else even acknowledged that they'd received this letter from this old man who's wondering if he's going to get evicted. Now, when I read that letter, it makes some statements that are not necessarily true. They're not being evicted. I want to make that clear to anybody who just tuned in. There's nobody being evicted. I'm not saying that. This is a letter that a man wrote in fear of being evicted, wondering what's going on. So the mayor assured him.
The mayor assured
him. It would not happen. And whatever. I think, the mayor didn't call him. I'm not sure. you want me to read what I read Tuesday night?
Sure, please do.
Okay, so the deal was already done deal, I guess. I know from the meeting that I attended to with Pierre, that basically what they did was, the first thing that they did was they passed, after they assured everyone, they got Pierre to come to the meeting. Because the letter that they gave everyone there from Mercy, it seemed to indicate, now this is where I have to put my facts there together, that the people that were there now could possibly qualify for HUD. And if you came to this meeting, you could find out about that. In other words, maybe he could pay even cheaper rent and have a little more money to do the things he needs to do. You know, he's a brilliant man. There's a lot of brilliant, wonderful people there.
Well, the real question, see, Judith, to me, is whether Mercy plays fast and loose with its semantics when they say, oh, no one's going to be evicted. But what they do is they will remove people from one project, and then you're not sure if you're going to get into the next one. They will assure you to death you will, but you won't get any guarantees. That's what the Dolphin Lee people never got, don't have, and aren't likely to get. Instead, you are told you are first preference. You have our first priority. But that's different than being guaranteed a space. And we've already seen one couple that have sued Mercy Charities when they did that in a trailer project over in the Soquel area, and they lost their housing. And so I haven't been following the El Centro case carefully. I can't say whether Mercy has hasn't improved its tactics.
The couple lost the case. They lost their housing.
Yes, they did.
How did they lose their case?
They lost their case because the judge ruled, even though Mercy had falsely told them that they were going to get into the housing and that they had first preference, that there was no recourse that the couple had, that there was, in essence, no binding contract. And that's why I recommended that the Dolphin Lee tenants get those binding contracts before the project goes forward. And that's why SCAN, a year ago, passed a resolution much opposed by the old-time Elizabeth Vogel, Bernice Belton, Nora Hockman, pro-Mercy Charities types who want to just give it all to Mercy Charities, that said no progress on this housing business, the so-called affordable housing project, until there are real guarantees that the people who are now losing their housing will actually get into the new housing. And there still are no...
They just ran this through.
Yeah,
they conned everybody. I didn't have a tape. I was a witness to them telling that they wouldn't evict anyone.
No,
they got everyone to come to this meeting.
You're talking about the El Centro again.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I mean, that's the only thing I know right now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But... this other case, I mean, did they just tell them by word and nobody got it in writing? Is that what you're saying?
Well,
they took it to court,
right.
All they had was their word?
Well, and we're talking about the trailer case, which actually was taken by Attorney Ed Fry, who's talked about it on the air.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, they were told, I think they were told that was the case. They believed them, and then they provided for them an alternate trailer for a period of time, but then suddenly they said, get out of the trailer, but they didn't put them into the new housing, and they were screwed. And they don't have the housing that they were, as I understand it, that they were supposed to get. So I want to thank you for calling in, and I want to get more details on this when you get the facts clear and lined up. And when I get the facts clear, I'm sorry, I don't have a clearer understanding of this. I should have. Is there anything more you want to say what you saw on...
Well, I could read a little bit more of what I read the other night.
Okay, why don't you do that?
Okay, because this is what we said.
This is about the El Centro.
Well, it refers to Steve Farmer. We already know who he is, right?
Right, he's...
He's
the management side of Mercy Charities and Mercy Housing.
This is the real aspect of it.
Okay.
My dear Mayor Fitzmaurice, and it's the whole city council. Mm-hmm. This is a disagreeable letter that I have to write, but it is a matter of civil and civic duties. It's dated Tuesday, May 8th. On March 27th, I delivered by hand a letter with four supporting documents to Steve Farmer, prominently entitled, In Regard, Alleged Senior Abuse at El Centro, at Mercy Housing. So he brought it to his office. The four documents had been written and circulated over a period of 1 year by a Mercy Housing employee at El Centro named, I think I'll leave her name out right now.
Okay.
Okay. Perhaps Mr., or should I say it? No. Perhaps, it doesn't matter right now, does it?
Whatever you'd like.
Perhaps Mr. Farmer is still framing a reply to my allegations of continuous harassment, of threats of future eviction, of interference with my right to privacy and enjoyment of my rented domicile, of causing stress, of slander, and defamation of character against me made by a member of his staff. And I want to say I'm a witness to this, and they are documented. This is the last part I want to read. In big, black, bold letters, and he has it outlined, I respectfully ask that the city withhold signing any lease or giving any city tax money to Mercy Housing until this complaint is properly heard and resolved.
Mm-hmm.
That's the meat of it.
What you really need to do is get some kind of court action. But yeah, I mean, I think Mercy Charities has had a free ride for far too long. It's been this monopoly provider that is always the person they turn to without considering any other organizations. And essentially, they're rubber stamped right and left. Whatever they want, they get. It's just amazing.
Well, thanks for doing the show. And,
hey.
You know, there's a Mumia rally. The million Mumia's case is really going forward now.
Saturday, May 12th, San Francisco, yeah.
And there's going to be a carpool at the town clock at 8 o'clock Saturday morning. I don't know if I'll be making it because I think it's a different direction. But should I give out the Mumia number?
All right.
If people want to, there's some...
Go ahead, give the number, but I got to get off the line here.
Okay, well, people can look it up. It's 425-4467. There's going to be a big rally in San Francisco, and there's carpool going at town clock at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock on Saturday.
Yeah, 425-4467.
Okay.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. And we are tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3, or I hope you are anyway. I'm speaking on it. You're listening to it. We were hoping for a call from activist James Costner, currently being held inside the San Jose County Jail, or is it the Santa Clara County Jail? I think that's it. Again, for the crime of demolishing a Columbus statue. He goes back to court, I believe, on the 16th. And I may be able to get some information on that before the end of the show. His action around the smashing the statue is not what I would have done. I think was precipitous and somewhat lone wolf, but I don't like to see anybody being hauled to jail for, I guess it's 7 or 8 years. They're talking about putting this man in jail for essentially smashing the statue of a major war criminal. That is to say, someone who committed a war of genocide against the indigenous peoples of Hispaniola.
Call may be monitored or recorded.
Uh-huh.
You have a collect call from...
Jim?
An inmate at Santa Clara Department of Corrections, downtown facility. The cost for this call is...
$2.83
for the first minute and...
$0.12
for each additional minute. If you consent to this call being recorded and accept the charges, press 0. Thank you for using... Pacific Bell. Go ahead with your call.
Hey, Jim.
Hello, Robert.
You're on the air on...
Any attempt to place a three-way call or respond to call waiting will result in this call being terminated without warning.
Thank you for taking the call, Robert.
Hey,
you're, free radio.
You're live on free radio, Jim.
Can you talk a little louder, Robert?
You're live on free radio.
How did the program on Tuesday night go?
You're referring to the film forum, and that went very well. We actually had about 20 people came and watched the film To Serve and Protect and looked into the issue of the sleeping ban and a possible tent city. I'm glad you brought it up. We haven't talked about it on the air. There will be another program Thursday, a week from today, at 7:30 in the Porter, I think it's the Fireside Room up on campus, Fireside Lounge on Porter College. That is the plan at the moment. And we're going to be playing another video, I believe, Campground, the video we weren't able to play, and possibly some more stuff, again with the idea of encouraging people to draft an activist response to the city's failure to address the criminalization of the poor, and specifically the sleeping ban, which is $54 fines for doing whatever each of us has to do after 11 o'clock at night, sleep.
Being poor.
For being poor, right.
Santa Cruz, a solution to poverty. Santa Cruz City Council and the Downtown Business Association, solution to poverty.
Well, you're in the middle of your own situation there, Jim. You're in jail awaiting, a hearing on the 16th?
Yeah, I am. There's a bail reduction hearing on the 16th at 1:30 p.m. at the Santa Cruz County Court building on the First and Heading in front of one of the judges that they keep changing on me, so it's hard to say who it is, in which we hope we seek to get the bail reduced so that I can get back out. As some people know that I was bailed out already. I'm being allegedly charged with smashing the Christopher Columbus statue in San Jose City Hall, which I admit to doing. However, I did not admit to guilty for it because I don't see that as a crime. Unfortunately, the system does, and the system is threatening me with 8 years in jail, or 8 years in the penitentiary for this so-called crime. And I was bailed out on $2,000 after the people came to a bail reduction hearing and caused the system to act differently towards me. And then the system decided when there was no people in the courtroom to raise my bail to a 70G. So thus I'm back in jail. I'm been going. This will be my, this makes the third and a half week that I've been in jail since this incident. And I was wondering, Robert, if I wrote about a 5-minute statement, if I was wondering if I could read it.
Please, go ahead.
This is kind of a synopsis a little bit about who I am. A couple of students came to visit me from San Jose, and some of the students are being very supportive, and they said that there's some people out there who wonder, why would someone do that, and just basically skepticism and reservations about supporting me because they don't know who I am, they don't know me personally, and they see that as a very, out there kind of thing to do, and they want to know, is the person saying, what kind of person would do such a thing, I wrote the statement of the day kind of a little bit about my life and what participation, and I'd really appreciate it if I could read it. So it says 5/8/2001, 4:30 a.m., Santa Clara County Main Jail, otherwise known as the Cage. It is time to express my heart on a personal level about my particular participation in the movements of the past and present inside this, the beast of all beasts. First of all, I am a freedom fighter who seeks nothing more than life to be liberated from the oppression and the chains that hold humanity in bondage. I want all life to be free, and I am prepared to die for this goal. Over the last 8 years, I have given literally thousands of hours of my time building movement and engagement and struggle. I suppose my childhood beatings and terrorization was my initiation into the world of chaos and repression. When I was born, my mother was passing on, thus the state separated me from all my blood relations. My four biological sisters attempted to keep me in the family, yet the racist state intervened and placed me in hell with some weak and ignorant white people. This was the state's first attack against me. one of many, many attacks to come. My adopted sister was raped by my Southern racist stepdad, who my ignorant adopted mother chose for a 7-year mate. He literally terrorized us for 7 years, in which the whole of the adopted family still lives in denial of, like so many Americans, living a day-to-day lie about this country and its profoundly evil leaders, end quote. He treated me, and they treated me, as property. I feel as if I was an object that they brought from the 99-cent store. In my opinion, they had more love, care, and concern for their dogs, cats, fish, and cars, and even their stuffed animals. The Americana sickness was complete. By the time I was 16, I wanted a total divorce from the whole of them, and as a man, I finally have it. When I'm 19 years of age, I was a crew leader for the CCC, the California Conservation Corps, stationed in Watsonville, California. One night I came across Mohandas K. Gandhi's autobiography. He opened my eyes to God, to service, to humanity, to empathy, and so many other priceless concepts. When I'm 21, I read Malcolm X and fell in love with this such courage, conviction, and commitment. Since then I have discovered Christ, Buddha, Mohammed, Moses, and others, Marx, Lenin, Mao, Ho Chi Minh, Frantz Fanon, Kim Sun, Huey and the Panthers, Zico, Zapata, Villa, Che, Vidal, La Mumba, Asata, and so many others who I love and admire dearly. I knew that I had no choice. It was essential for me to become a revolutionary and to fight for our freedom, come what may. In my life of struggles, I have fought against the repression of poor people, against things like the sitting man and the sleeping bans of Santa Cruz. In 92, I fought against the occupation of Haiti by U.S. forces. We marched and protested the U.S.-led slaughter of Iraq and its people. The streets in Santa Cruz shook with hundreds of protesters and demonstrators. In 93 and 94, I, amongst many others, were arrested and placed in jail for TD against the sitting ban, which targeted homeless people. I began to develop oratory skills for public speaking. In 94 and 95, I was introduced to Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Refuse and Resist, the RCP, the MOVE organization, the Voodoo organization, and many other revolutionaries. We would meet weekly to study and plot. I sold their papers from door to door after work. I attended a national conference in Miami for Refuse and Resist and brought back my first Mumia video, live from death row. The comrades and I began organizing teach-ins and video showings to support Mumia, who in my opinion was dying and is dying in a cage due solely to his true sincere commitment to free humanity, and he was framed up. On June 1st, 95, Tom Ridge, the Pennsylvania governor, signed Jamal's death warrant, and we fought back hard all across the planet to save him. In 96, I and others established an active revolutionary coalition to continue the work. I believe we accomplished a great deal of educational work in 1 year's time. In 97, Bill Clinton signed public law threatening 3,008 Native people in Big Mountain in Arizona with forced relocation, and again we rose up to stop the injustice in months of hard work. I have taken breaks, but I have never quit. In the past 9 years of active struggle, I have fought for Native rights, poor people's rights, for POWs and political prisoners, against police brutality, for revolution and liberation, against the Iraqi slaughter, against the Yugoslav bombings, against Prop 187 and Prop 209, and many other causes. The State Department has fired me twice from good jobs that I love. The FBI has come to my house late at night to scare me. The CIA has followed me down the highway and let it be known. The racists have threatened me with death. The pigs have placed me 15 plus times in handcuffs. Movement leaders have betrayed me, yet I will not stop, and I feel as if I have really only begun.
Well, we're talking to Jim Costner, and this is the last 5 minutes of Bathrobe's Pierre's Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz. Jim, you're inside the Santa Clara County Jail, and you're in the general population. You're not in isolation, but it's still it's no picnic, right?
It's far from a picnic. The guards took me out on Sunday from Chow Hall and made it very clear to me that they can brutalize you here if they feel like it. They made it very clear to me that they can pummel you, and they can literally just physically brutalize, terrorize you, and they think that they can get away with it, and in many cases they can.
What happened to you on that occasion with these guards?
Well, when I walked into Chow Hall on Sunday, everybody was standing up, which is usually the direct opposite of what goes down. Everyone's usually sitting down, so I asked one of the guards who was closest to me when I entered Chow Hall what was up with the situation, in which he responded to me, "You have an attitude problem in a very cruel and wicked way. A very aggressive way," in which I expressed to him, I said very calmly, "My attitude problem will never compare to yours." And in which case he said, "I could break your face." At which point I responded, "I'll get my face broken for asking you a question." At that point, three guards grabbed me physically, pulled me out of the chow hall, threw me against the ground in a little teeny cage, and expressed to me that they said that they did hardly nothing to me, and they could do much, much more if they so desired and wanted to.
Since that time, have you been subject to any other penalties? I know Steve Argue, when he was in jail, had his he went on a blanket strike, and he had some problems. You supported him from outside when he was having his difficulties in Santa Cruz County Jail.
We made sure that Steve Argue would never get beat up again in jail when he got beat up, and we were successful in that. They never touched him again.
Have any of your fellow prisoners expressed any solidarity with you on this issue, or are you become a...
There's many people who express different levels of solidarity, but nobody in here disagrees that the police are running amok in America. Nobody in here disagrees that racism is going on. Nobody, except for the white power boys. Nobody in here disagrees that the conditions in jail are vile and revolting. It's a day-to-day psychological torture that a human being must basically be spiritually and emotionally strong and sound to be able to get through it.
Now, we only have about a minute or two left. Would you like to put out any other message to the folks out here in Free Radio's audience?
Just that I think freedom of speech is vitally important to the movement. Free Radio allows people to, for the most part, allows people to have freedom of speech, and that's very significant to the liberation struggle, and freedom of speech cannot be taken away. If we let freedom of speech be taken away, then we're letting the movement be killed. That's one point. Another point is that this Saturday there's going to be a huge demonstration. Thousands will be in the street up in Frisco for Mobian Bujamal, and we just wanted people to know about it. Throwing it out again, encourage people to go up there. I believe it starts at 11 o'clock at Dolores Park in Frisco this Saturday, May 12th. That's to commemorate the Boole bombing, and those people who already know, and maybe some who don't know, on May 13th, 1985, the Philadelphia Police Department, under the jurisdiction of the white supremacist American government, dropped a bomb on their house, and they destroyed 11 revolutionaries and burned down 61 homes. This demonstration is to commemorate that bombing, as to support the MOVE organization, as Momia supports the MOVE organization, as well as to support, first and foremost, to support Momia Abu-Jamal, one of our greatest revolutionary freedom fighters in this country today, who has been wrongfully convicted of killing a cop in place of death row, in which they tried to execute twice now, in which, or actually three times, one time illegally on the streets, and two times legally through their system, in which they've been prevented both all three times, and that's because of the people. So I encourage people to go up to that. Also, on May 26th, there'll be a Rage Against Racism. There'll be a lot of wonderful people. Yuri Kochiyama, close comrade of Malcolm X, will be there. She actually held Malcolm X's head when he was assassinated. She'll be there speaking out May 26th, Rage Against Racism. That starts at 11 o'clock at First and Heading. That's right in front of the main jail in downtown San Jose. Curly Morales Bermudez is a soldier of the Black Liberation Army and a former political prisoner 7 years. Also, Gerald Sanders, a former Panther from the East Coast, will be there. Also, a native brother by the name of Vic Yellowhawk, who people might have saw when they came down to the program we had in Santa Cruz a couple weeks ago at the basement of the Vet Hall, a very beautiful native brother who's going to be coming down and doing the opening ceremony. There'll also be the Students for Justice will be there. The Western Region, the United Front of Free Political Prisons will be there. The EUPLO, the United Earth and People's Liberation Organization will be there. There'll be a lot of different, hopefully there'll be a little bit of hundreds. So that's on May 26th, that's true, May 26th. So I encourage people to come out to that. And for myself, just the two comments is that anybody who supports me and supports what I did, or doesn't support me but yet supports what I did, or however you want to express it, people are entitled to obviously their own opinions about all the different things that are going on. I would encourage people that right now we're trying to get myself bailed out so that if Steve argues that I have half a chance to keep myself from being railroaded. If they keep me in here, I will be railroaded most assuredly. So the point is to get me out. They've already violated their own bail policies by upping my bail to 70 G's and then lying about it. And the newspaper saying I didn't show up when in fact I did show up and they changed. The DA came in.
You got about 1 minute, Jim.
Okay. Basically, anybody who's willing to amass, we're trying to get at least 100 people or as many people as we can to give $20 each to my bail fund so that I can get out of here so that I can fight my case more accurately and more effectively. If people are willing to, they can call 588-2756 or I just woke up. What's the other phone number? Well, that's good enough. 588-2756. 588-2756. 831 area code. I'm asking everybody who supports what I did to give $20 so I can get the bail raised. Also, if anybody's willing to come over next Wednesday at 1:30 for the bail reduction hearing, that'll be very, very helpful because it was the people who basically forced the system here to view me differently and to treat me differently and to allow me to get out last time. The same truth is the truth today. Same truth for all movement struggles, and I just encourage people to come out. So thank you very much for letting me be on Free Radio.
Hey, thank you, Jim, and call us again.
Take care, Robert.
All right. That's it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides. We're overtime. Uncle Dennis is next. Join us again Sunday, 11 to 1:30 on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. Here's the sound of Carol Denny and the sound of Uncle Dennis. Unless you want to go directly into your theme song, Dennis. What would
Carol Denny's fine.
Carol Denny's good. If you want to contact Jim Costner, leave a message for him, please call HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. Thanks for being with us. And any witnesses to the Jen Curry assault by Officer Sergeant Butchie Baker, or Sergeant McPhillips, I should say, both of those sergeants, give a call to 423-HUFF.
Certain as the sun will rise, and politicians have lying eyes, as sure as suffering multiplies, the rich will never be poor. As certain as in life you learn, the rich have money and time to burn, the rich will counsel you, wait your turn, in heaven you'll get some more. As sure as poverty plagues the land, the rich will give you a helping hand, as soon as mountains return to sand and oceans leave the shore. Count on nothing in life so well, that if the rich go straight to hell, lots are something they buy and sell, they'll never enter the door. Clearly all that you need in life to be at peace in a world of strife, the company of a man or wife and lots of money in store. Life is simple and so complete, with faithful friends and some bread to eat, a solid roof and a room with heat and stocks and bonds galore. The rich will probably tell you nay, it's inner riches that really pay. The rich have always got lots to say as they watch their assets soar. Count on nothing in life so plain, the poor have water, the rich champagne, the market rises to this refrain, the rich will never be poor, the rich will never be poor. Sure as life is a strange affair, in need of some robust repair, the rich don't actually have to care, the rich will never be poor. Maybe people are all the same, but the rich are playing a different game. You take your chances and take your aim, you'll never even the score. The rich can't help it if life's unfair, the richer people, they really care. They often mention it's hard to bear, they're burdened at their core. Some say no, but it's plain to see, the rich are different than you and me. The rich are different as they can be. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor. The rich will never be poor.
And we want to thank Robert for another great show here on Free Radio Santa Cruz.